The first reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 1. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among his brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, and was allotted his share in the ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they pulled forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who knows the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in his ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the 1 John chapter 5. "If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus said, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Being Mother's Day, I decided that we would look at the very first mother in the Bible, that being Eve. Eve's one of the more complicated figures, I think, in the early part of the Old Testament. I mean, being the very first woman, very first mother, she is the great matriarch of the entire human society. When you look at the story of Eve, there's temptation, tears, tragedy, but finally, triumph. And usually when you think of Eve, all right, I'll ask you this. When you generally think of Eve, what do you think of? I'm deaf. What? The apple. Right away, you think of the sin part, right? Yeah, okay, that's a part of the story. I think a lot of Sunday school lessons always focus on eating, well, it's not an apple, it's a fruit. Personally, I think it was a sweet potato because that, I think, brought sin into the world, but that's just my own interpretation, not an official doctrinal position. Okay. But before that, they had this perfect relationship with God. And God gave Adam and Eve and every human being free choice. We have the ability to obey or to disobey. And that is a great gift that God gave us, because if we did not have the ability to choose, we would be literally nothing more than a marionette on a puppet string, where God just pulled the strings and made us do whatever He wanted us to do. He gives us free choice. Now, of course, God does not tempt us. He tests us. He never gives us more than we can handle. The great Saint Mother Teresa said, "I know God won't give me anything I can't handle. I just wish He didn't trust me so much." I have really adopted that as one of my mottos of life. I think God trusts me far more than I trust myself. But we do know that parents have a great influence on their children, whether it's a positive or a negative influence. Exodus 20, verse 5 says, "And you shall not bow down yourself to them," referring to idols, "nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the sins of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." So I think it's pretty clear. Parents can have a real negative influence on their children, and not just them. It can run for generations. Well, the reverse is also true. There are positive influences. For God also says that He will bless for 1,000 generations to those who love Him. That comes from Deuteronomy 7:9. "Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." And we know about the negative influences that parents can have for generations down the road. I mean, honestly, look at the inner cities. I always love the solution. The solution to fixing the inner city problem is we need to spend more money. So if we just spend more money, we're going to fix it all. Well, wait a minute. The Bible's kind of clear. Parents are the key. So maybe it's time we started talking to them and saying, "Hey, guys, what's going on here?" The good news is God is at His best. And we're going to see that when we examine the biblical record. Life sometimes seems very unfair. Turn on the news on any given morning. Open up the newspaper. And what do you see? Well, besides the Kardashians. Seriously, am I the only one that's getting tired of seeing them on everything? Maybe it's just because I pull it up on the internet. Am I? All right, never saw it before. I just made that up. Anyway, news. Constantly see all these bad stories of what's going on. But God can use those things to accomplish His purpose for greater things. One of the stories I love, President Calvin Coolidge, while he was president, his 15-year-old son was out playing lawn darts. See, that was the good old days when we trusted kids with lawn darts. You know,
You threw the lawn darts and you ducked. Now, it's considered a dangerous weapon. You got to background checks to buy lawn darts. But anyway, Calvin Coolidge's son was playing lawn darts and he didn't get hit by one. He got a blister on the third toe on his right foot. It got infected very quickly, and this is about 4 years before penicillin was invented, and his son died while he was in office. A few days after the funeral, one of Calvin Coolidge's aides came to see him, and Calvin Coolidge always liked to sit in the one window there at the White House. Imagine that, president sitting in an open window. And he was drinking his coffee, enjoying his breakfast, and his habit, by the way, was to read the Bible for an hour every day before he had any meetings, because he said, if I'm not right with God, I can't be right with the country. Yes, I'm talking politics. It was 100 years ago. It's okay. But his aide asked him, you know, your son just died, and you're reading the Bible. Calvin Coolidge said, life isn't good sometimes, but God never ceases to be good. One of the things that we learn about Eve is there's the promise that her seed would fight Satan. God curses the snake. See, I think that's just a good reason not to like snakes. And by the way, has it ever dawned on anybody why she wasn't freaked out by a talking snake?
Hey, Eve, look at that over there. Don't you want some?
See, that proves Eve was white. You ever see these horror movies? Nah, see, I'm getting on a tangent. This is bad. Horror movies, there's blood in the toilet. White people say, oh, look, that's interesting. Let's flush it. Now let's all go down the basement where the lights are out. People from Detroit, they're out of there. We see a talking snake, boom, we shoot it. Just saying. Anyway, I'm off on a tangent. Bad, bad, bad. Need to get that trapdoor set. Anyway, so God curses the snake. Makes him crawl on his belly, eat dust, and all of that wonderful stuff. But there's a prophecy of eternal consequences. God says in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Satan's offspring is plural. Eve's is singular. Think about what that means. Satan's forces are large in number, and they never stop attacking. We're talking about this in the adult Bible study. Through the book of Mark, all you see is Satan constantly is attacking Jesus, and he is casting out demons everywhere. But Eve's seed is singular. And it says that that Eve's seed will crush the head of the serpent. And you know why they crush the head? Because that's where the venom is. Not just because of where the brain is, but that's where the venom is. That's where the poison. That's where the damage is done. Eve's offspring will win this. And it happens at the cross. That's where Satan gets defeated. I don't know how many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ. One of the scenes I like, and a lot of people I don't think get it early on, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, a white snake comes up to Jesus. I don't know if it's talking to him or not. I don't remember offhand. But he steps forward and steps right on his head and crushes it. And I don't think a lot of people understood what Mel Gibson was doing. That's not, of course, in the Bible, that event. But what Mel Gibson was trying to show is the Old Testament prophecy then was literally fulfilled. It was fulfilled when Christ defeated Satan on the cross. Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed which is Christ. From Romans 9, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac thy seed shall be called. And then finally from Romans 1, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh. God had messages to give to Eve. And one of them is from Genesis 3:16. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over thee. Whole family dynamic got changed when sin entered the world. Excuse me. It changed the relationship between men and women. This also emphasizes some certain truths that when Eve would have children and throughout the generations, there are certain characteristics that we carry from her. Washington Irving said, a mother is the truest friend we have. When trials heavy and sudden fall upon us, when adversity takes the place of prosperity, when friends desert us, when troubles thicken around us, still will she cling to us and endeavor by her kind precepts and counsels to dissipate the clouds of darkness and cause peace to return to our hearts. Abraham Lincoln put, I think, a lot more succinctly when he said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. George Washington said, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and education I received from her. You know, that's pretty cool. George Washington, father of our country, general who brought us through the Revolution, 2 terms as president, saw us through writing the Constitution and all of that. If he had to say, if somebody would have asked him, why are you successful, Mr. Washington? He attributed it to his mother. See, there's something special between mothers and children. I think it has something to do with that 9 months in the womb kind of thing. Us guys, we don't quite get that. Don't understand it. But there's a special relationship women then have as a result. You know, Eve was not only the first woman, but she was also the first mother. Eve was also the first mother who ever lost a child. Not only did she lose a child, she lost it because of what another one of her children did, and then that child was banished. And this is what I'm talking about, some of the bad things about, you know, that Eve goes through. And it does say that her relationship with Adam was changed. You know, again, one of the funny scenes in the Bible is when God says, did you eat of that tree I told you not to? And what does Adam say? She did it. No, you did it, God. Eve says, snake made me do it. See, this is the example. Perfect example, the very first time that gets repeated throughout history, where a husband blames his wife for his mistakes, and she thinks he's a jerk. Hey, if you don't laugh, life is too sad. See, in spite of all these bad things that happened to Adam and Eve, happened to all the generations, happened to us, God is always at his best. Mother's Day does remind us of Eve because there's that great promise that Christ the Savior is going to come. You know, every Jewish mother from Eve forward, even in the Orthodox Jews to this day, when a baby boy is born, the prayer is, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, may this child be the promised Messiah. Mary, of course, in the New Testament, her son was the promised Messiah. And doesn't every mother have great expectations for their children when they're born? Seriously, has anybody ever been in a hospital room when a baby's born and mom's holding the baby and says, you know, I really hope you grow up to be a car thief. You know, I hope you end up like grandpa who got 20 years in the clink. Does anybody ever say this about their kids? No, mine did not. They have that hope of great expectations. You know, in Eve, there's a lot of lessons here, as I've been talking about. You know, Eve made her mistakes. Eve wasn't a perfect mother. No mother is perfect. But yet she continued on. Eve knew heartache, and she knew incredible joy. She raised her children to the best of her ability and waited for the Savior to come. And mothers do show us a picture of God's love for us. Because mothers' love is unconditional. No matter how stupid we were growing up, not that I ever was, of course. All right? Do mothers ever say, that's it? I mean, I guess there's some. But in generality, do mothers just ever say, you're out of here? Maybe they have enough with a kid and say, you got to go on your own. But if that kid comes back repentant, isn't mom the one who says, we got to take him back? Isn't that the exact picture of God? That God's love for us is unconditional. He does not desert us. We may leave him, but he always takes us back and shows us love. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.